Let's read together 2 Kings chapter 25. In this last chapter of 2 Kings, we have the sad record of the fall of Jerusalem to the Babylonians, with the destruction of the temple and the transport of the Jewish captives to Babylon. Let's begin by reading the first 21 verses. Now it came to pass in the ninth year of his reign, in the 10th month, on the 10th day of the month, that Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army came against Jerusalem and encamped against it, and they built a siege wall against it all around. So the city was besieged until the 11th year of King Zedekiah. By the 9th day of the 4th month, the famine had become so severe in the city that there was no food for the people of the land. Then the city wall was broken through, and all the men of war fled at night by way of the gate between two walls, which was by the king's garden, even though the Chaldeans were still encamped all around against the city. And the king went by way of the plain. But the army of the Chaldeans pursued the king, and they overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his army was scattered from him. So they took the king and brought him up to the king of Babylon at Riblah, and they pronounced judgment on him. Then they killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes, put out the eyes of Zedekiah, bound him with bronze fetters, and took him to Babylon. And in the 5th month, on the 7th day of the month, which was the 19th year of King Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, a servant of the king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem. He burned the house of the Lord and the king's house, all the houses of Jerusalem, that is, all the houses of the great, he burned with fire. And all the army of the Chaldeans, who were with the captain of the guard, broke down the walls of Jerusalem all around. Then Nebuzaradan, the captain of the guard, carried away captive the rest of the people who remained in the city and the defectors who had deserted to the king of Babylon with the rest of the multitude. But the captain of the guard left some of the poor of the land as vine dressers and farmers. The bronze pillars that were in the house of the Lord and the carts and the bronze sea that were in the house of the Lord, the Chaldeans broke in pieces and carried their bronze to Babylon. They also took away the pots, the shovels, the trimmers, the spoons, and all the bronze utensils with which the priests ministered, the fire pans and the basins, the things of solid gold and solid silver, the captain of the guard took away. The two pillars, one sea, and the carts, which Solomon had made for the house of the Lord, the bronze and all these articles was beyond measure. The height of one pillar was 18 cubits, and the capital on it was of bronze. The height of the capital was 3 cubits, and the network and pomegranates all around the capital were all of bronze. The second pillar was the same, with a network, and the captain of the guard took Seraiah, the chief priest, Zephaniah, the second priest, and the 3 doorkeepers. He also took out of the city an officer who had charge of the men of war, 5 men of the king's close associates who were found in the city, the chief recruiting officer of the army who mustered the people of the land, and 60 men of the people of the land who were found in the city. So Nebuzaradan, captain of the guard, took these and brought them to the king of Babylon at Riblah. Then the king of Babylon struck them and put them to death at Riblah in the land of Hamath. Thus Judah was carried away captive from its own land. Let's begin our study of this chapter, 2 Kings chapter 25, with some background notes. We mentioned in our last talk from 2 Kings that there were 3 invasions of the kingdom of Judah by the Babylonians before the final fall of Jerusalem. The 3rd invasion is covered here in 2 Kings chapter 25. This final siege of Jerusalem lasted for 1.5 years, from 588 BC down to 586 BC. We see in verse 3 that the long siege resulted in a severe famine for the people who had taken refuge within the walls of Jerusalem. In fact, we learn from the Book of Lamentations that conditions were so horrible within Jerusalem at this time, that many of the people resorted to cannibalism in order to survive. In verse 4 of 2 Kings chapter 25, we see that after 1.5 years, the wall of Jerusalem was breached and the Babylonians broke into the city. King Zedekiah and his defending army tried to escape, but they were captured by the Chaldeans, that is, the Babylonians. Nebuzaradan, the Babylonian military commander, then burned Jerusalem including the beautiful temple of the Lord, verse 9, and broke down the walls around Jerusalem, verse 10. The people were carried away into exile to Babylon, verse 11. And the temple treasures and valuable materials were taken as well, verses 13 through 17. In verses 18 through 21, we see that Nebuzaradan, the Babylonian military commander, took certain Jewish political leaders and military leaders and religious leaders and brought them directly to King Nebuchadnezzar's field military headquarters at Riblah, north of Damascus. Nebuchadnezzar had them all killed, verse 21, in order to prevent any uprising and rebellion in the future. That brings us to our doctrinal or teaching points for 2 Kings chapter 25. Doctrinal point number one, the way of the transgressor is hard. The way of the transgressor is hard. That's a verse right out of the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 15. Now, where do we see this doctrinal point in this chapter, 2 Kings chapter 25? In Ezekiel chapter 17, the Lord gave Ezekiel a parable about two eagles. The eagles represented the king of Babylon and the king of Egypt and their dealings with the last kings of Judah, especially King Zedekiah. Notice what the Lord is saying about King Zedekiah in these verses. When Zedekiah broke the covenant that he had made before God with King Nebuchadnezzar, he essentially broke the covenant with God and transgressed against the Lord. You see that in verses 19 and 20? The way of the transgressor is hard. Look at what happened to King Zedekiah as a result of his transgression. Look at verses 6 and 7 of 2 Kings 25 once again. Don't play games with God as King Zedekiah did. The way of the transgressor is hard. Doctrinal point number two. The way that seems right may end in death. The way that seems right may end in death. This is another verse from the book of Proverbs. Proverbs 14, verse 12, and Proverbs 16, verse 25. We've seen this truth emphasized in the life of King Zedekiah. He thought he was doing the right thing by breaking his covenant with King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon and appealing to Egypt for help, but it ended in death. Now in verses 22 through 26, we'll see this truth emphasized once again. 2 Kings chapter 25, beginning at verse 22. Then he, that is Nebuchadnezzar, made Gedaliah, the son of Ahikam, the son of Shaphan, governor over the people who remained in the land of Judah, whom Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, had left. Now when all the captains of the armies, they and their men, heard that the king of Babylon had made Gedaliah governor, they came to Gedaliah at Mizpah. Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, Johanan, the son of Kareah, Sariah, the son of Tahumath, the Nephoathite, and Jazaniah, the son of a Maacathite, they and their men. And Gedaliah took an oath before them and their men and said to them, "Do not be afraid of the servants of the Chaldeans. Dwell in the land and serve the king of Babylon, and it shall be well with you." But it happened in the seventh month that Ishmael, the son of Nethaniah, the son of Elishama, of the royal family, came with 10 men and struck and killed Gedaliah, the Jews, as well as the Chaldeans who were with him at Mizpah. And all the people, small and great, and the captains of the armies, arose and went to Egypt, where they were afraid of the Chaldeans. After the removal of King Zedekiah, King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon appointed Gedaliah to be governor over Judah. Gedaliah was a good governor, and he told all the people who were left in the land the truth, that if they submitted to Nebuchadnezzar, they would not have to fear Babylon, and everything would go well with them. But the people of Judah, including the captains of the armies, this would be the uncaptured guerrilla forces that had now come back into town from the surrounding hills, all of these people, great and small, would not believe Gedaliah. In fact, a man named Ishmael, of royal blood, was obviously jealous of Gedaliah, who had been installed as governor, and with 10 other men, he assassinated Gedaliah and killed all of his staff, as we see there in verse 25. And then, in direct opposition to the good counsel of Gedaliah, they arose and went to Egypt, verse 26. Why? Because it seemed right to them, but it ended in death in Egypt. These rebellious people not only ignored the good counsel of Gedaliah, but they directly disobeyed the word of the Lord through the prophet Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 42, we learn that the people piously came to the prophet Jeremiah, who had been left by the Babylonians in Jerusalem, and they asked Jeremiah what they should do. Why did they disobey the Lord and go to Egypt? Because they wanted to go to Egypt. It seemed right to them, but it ended in death. These rebellious people all died by the sword when the Babylonians invaded Egypt. The way that seemed right ended in death. The same is true today. The obvious application here would be in reference to salvation. Many people try to work their way to heaven because it seems right to them, but it ends in death. There is a way that seems right, but it ends in death. Now, what about practical application from 2 Kings chapter 25? Look for light at the end of the tunnel. Look for light at the end of the tunnel. Verses 27 through 30. Now, it came to pass in the 37th year of the captivity of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, in the 12th month, on the 27th day of the month, that evil Merodach, king of Babylon, in the year that he began to reign, released Jehoiakim, king of Judah, from prison. He spoke kindly to him and gave him a more prominent seat than those of the kings who were with him in Babylon. So Jehoiakim changed from his prison garments, and he ate bread regularly before the king all the days of his life. And as for his provisions, there was a regular ration given him by the king, a portion for each day, all the days of his life. Now, the tunnel of life may be dark and unpleasant and even filled with painful discipline from the Lord, but it's for our own blessing in the end. We see this encouraging lesson here at the end of 2 Kings. 1 Kings opened with David's death, and 2 Kings closes with Judah's destruction. The nation had failed under the kings, a long, dark tunnel. But here at the end of 2 Kings, we see some encouraging light at the end of the tunnel. Jehoiakim was released from prison, a foretaste of the coming return of the Jews from captivity. And Jehoiakim is in the royal lineage of the coming Messiah. This was encouraging news. There was light at the end of the tunnel. As Jeremiah wrote to the captives in Babylon, "I have good plans for you, says the Lord." Jeremiah 29:11. So God has good and encouraging plans for all believers, even though the way may be hard and unpleasant and dark as the valley of the shadow of death at times. So look for the light at the end of the tunnel.